Welcome to You Need to Know This, or UNKT. We're like the intramural league of late night. This pod is for people that don't want spastic TikTok speed headlines, but also like learning news in ways that doesn't make them feel sad. So here's some semi-recent headlines and a thoughtful interview from our live show in NYC. We're not a very political thing, but this was our chance to hear from a guy that has not stopped working to elect Democrats since his 21st birthday. And now he's in charge of the whole thing. We sat down with the executive director of The Democrats and asked him to combat popular opinion and detail why the DNC doesn't suck. And for a non-elected dude I enjoy beers with, he breaks it down real good. But first,
here's everything you need to know this month. The next World Cup final will be played at New York, New Jersey Stadium. It's so un-American that FIFA doesn't allow host sites to promote brands, you know? It's like, fine. We will let France and Argentina square off at the Pop-Tarts Duke's Mayo Del Taco Bowl presented by Theranos. The Department of Transportation launched a $600 million grant to connect the whole U.S. with more EV chargers. Big, juicy batteries. Just another way Biden's making infrastructure sexy. But the White House is downshifting its EV goals to appease automakers and unions, giving until 2030 to meet ambitious carbon emission goals. To instead offset our runaway carbon emissions, cows are now required to hold in their farts. It is the only way. Nikki Haley cameoed on SNL, the peak of her presidential run. And Democratic challenger Dean Phillips cameoed on the Roku channel. Right here. Yep. NASA finally opened its prized asteroid canister, and it looks like it's ready to go in your French press. NASA's also launching a new moon lander that'll be clad in Columbia sportswear. What a lost opportunity for Lululemon. And taking top honors in this year's Minnesota Snowplow Naming Competition was Taylor Drift, blowing past other contenders like Dolly Plowton, You're Killing Me Squalls, Andrew Dismukes, and the Dune Sandworm Popcorn Buckets. All right, please welcome to the stage an interview with the executive director of the DNC, Sam Cornalley. Sam, full disclosure, I work with you on Obama things and at the DNC. And I feel like a misconception of the DNC is that it's supposed to be the head or the heart of the operation, and it is really more of the liver. So, can you detail the core functions of the DNC? And just give me the whole like prognosis. And more importantly, for your job security, please explain why the DNC doesn't suck.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on, Josh. It's great to be here with all of you. I will just start by saying, with no disrespect to anyone who was there before I got there in 2017, you know, it has sucked at times. And I think, you know, I will just stipulate at the outset, I'm not a party person. I have pursued candidates and campaigns and causes that I believed in and then worked for them on the outside or in the inside of government. But, you know, when I was working for President Obama for all 8 years in both of his campaigns, you know, I watched as we lost more than 1,000 state and local seats. You know, at the end of the day, realized that there was a massively important lever of power. And that's ultimately our goal here. Is building progressive political power, long-term progressive political power. And there was a lever that we weren't using to full effect. And so I managed the campaign of the labor secretary for President Obama named Tom Perez, who took over the party with a few of us in 2017. And ever since then, we've been winning, and we've been winning a whole lot. You know, first I start with the goal here is building long-term political power. And there are only a few entities, chiefly the Democratic National Committee, our state parties, county parties, you know, activists around the country who are thinking about how we build political power each and every day. And that the day after the election matters just as much as the day before. And that's partly why we're winning. There's really four main buckets of work, and I apologize that this is going to be a long-winded answer, not nearly as funny as our previous guests. But, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about the Democratic National Committee. First bucket, we are sort of the mothership of a national political apparatus. We have kind of a franchise model relationship with state parties, who in turn have relationships with county parties, who in turn are the conduit to grassroots activists and organizers who are working each and every day, working their asses off, to protect the fundamental rights and freedoms, to move the country a little bit forward each and every day. And that's a really, really important thing. And it's an important thing because, you know, campaigns, causes, other committees, the DSEC, our colleagues who do incredible work, winning elections in the Senate, and our DCCC colleagues who do the same for the House, and on and on. They're chasing opportunity. So they're going to care a lot about, you know, Montana this year because John Tester's up for re-election and deserves re-election. But the day after the election, they're going to move on to the next cycle's opportunities. And what was missing in those Obama years was an entity that was well-funded, well-resourced, that was fighting the day after the election in Montana to keep building political power. So that's really important. That's the first thing we do. We've tripled the amount of investment we give to state and county parties. We now move more than $1 million every single month, barely any questions asked, just to fund people who communicate against Republicans in those states, whether it's Wyoming or Wisconsin. They're out there fighting each and every day. We raise the money and then deploy it out, built this national apparatus. Second bucket of work that we do is we are kind of the brain, to your point. We are actually kind of the brain and the mouthpiece of the Democratic Party. So brain first. We run the entire data and technology and tools infrastructure of the Democratic Party. It was woefully inadequate and really atrophied during the Obama years. And Secretary Clinton inherited a really decrepit system. She herself had to spend $30 million from her campaign to rebuild this apparatus just to compete with Donald Trump and the Republicans. So we have, at no cost to any Democrat, if you're running for office with a D next to your name or you're a volunteer, you are the beneficiary of annually $30 million that we spend on consumer data, on tools and technology that we then deploy. We give for free to state parties, county parties, anybody running for office with a D next to their name.
And with this money, you have tried cloning Obamas, right?
I personally have tried that. Not a scientist, just a political scientist. Mouthpiece, you know, you obviously see each and every day what we're up against on the Republican side. It's terrifying. But we have a communications team, including one of my staffers, Nina, who's in the building today, who are fighting each and every day to, you know, demonstrate our values, to push back on what the crazy MAGA Republicans are doing. Third thing we are is we're a membership organization. In 2016, y'all probably read a lot about it because there were a lot of angry members. But we have an internal, entire party apparatus internal to the DNC that does everything from figure out how to nominate the President of the United States in an open primary to put on conventions. There's a whole bunch of internal functions. And fourth, most importantly right now, we are a key tenant of the political arm of the President of the United States and working hand in glove with the campaign. At the end of the day, what I will say is our comparative advantage over the Republicans is that we have built an unbelievably effective and efficient apparatus. It is why we're winning in elections that we should not be winning in, if history is any precedent, and we're going to do it again in November.
We like that. Okay. Well, we like that, but I will say some people are not enthralled by the idea of a repeat of Frail versus Jail. That used to be funny, and now it's just a lot of nervous laughter. So how do we, in the future, attract more hot young co-ed candidates? And is Senator John Ossoff single?
He is a very handsome man, and he is doing a phenomenal job for the state of Georgia, along with the good Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock. John also deserves re-election in 2026, but we got work ahead of us before then. Here's what I'll say. The president does not swear when he says this, but he acknowledges that he and Donald Trump are both fucking old. They're both old. If they were in the same high school, they would have overlapped in high school. They're 3 years apart. Only one of them eats McDonald's every single day and is facing 91 counts. And it ain't Joe Biden. Second thing I will say is, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about your age, it's about the age of your ideas. And what Donald Trump is saying is straight out of 1940s Nazi Germany. It is pre Roe versus Wade. Said that he would authorize local law enforcement to go round up, quote, the bad ones among our immigrant neighbors and friends. Whether or not you're here to celebrate Joe Biden and his victories, of which I think that there are monumental wins that he has delivered. I think he's delivered more in 3 years than most presidents do in 8. And frankly, you know, I worked for Obama for 8 years, and Joe Biden has gotten more done in 3 years than he did in 8. So at the end of the day, this is about the age of your ideas. And Joe Biden, despite being 81 years old, is fighting each and every day and delivering with a 50-50 Senate. Joe Biden delivered monumental gun violence prevention law, first in a generation, the largest climate investment in human history across the entire globe, saved us both economically and from a health standpoint from a global pandemic. He's been fighting for to restore Roe, to codify Roe v. Wade. And by the way, we are fucking winning. We are winning. When has an incumbent president, he has had the best midterm cycle in 2022 since 1934. In 2023, they said we're going to lose everything. We reelected a pro-choice, pro-trans governor in Kentucky. We flipped a state legislature in Virginia. We codified Roe in Ohio, and we legalized weed. And that's just four states off the top of my head.
I got to say, I do remember the midterms of 34 vividly. And
so does Joe Biden.
There you go. What are the W's that we should be talking about? What are the ones that like your weird uncle or just totally disenchanted teenagers need to hear in the next 6 months?
Listen, I grew up in Wisconsin. You got to meet your weird uncle. You got to meet your neighbor. You have to meet them where they are. There's no one message. This notion that there's one message that just gets it done, that's just horseshit. But the reality is you have to build a frame to organize our thoughts, our beliefs, and connect to people. For me and for the president, what we're talking about is freedom. And by the way, we have a huge opportunity as Democrats, as a progressive movement, to take freedom away from the Republicans. They've had it for four generations. We can take it back. And I think there are four fundamental freedoms. Each of them have a ton of accomplishments that we've delivered and a whole bunch that we're planning to deliver if we're reelected. The first is financial freedom. The ability to make ends meet, a fair day's wage for a hard day's work. We're building generational wealth in communities that haven't seen it in their entire lifetime. We're capping the cost of prescription drugs, $35 insulin. Second, freedom is personal freedom, to marry who you love, to have access to reproductive health care, to have an abortion if you need it or want it. Third freedom is democratic freedom. We've put more judges on the bench since John F. Kennedy. That was the last time a Democratic president has put this many judges on the bench. We're remaking the judicial system in a more fair, equitable, and diverse way than any president before us. But we also want to make sure that when you vote, your vote counts. And Republicans want to decide whether or not your vote counts based on whether you voted for them. That's bullshit. And the fourth freedom is global freedom. Joe Biden has rallied the world against Russia and the infringement of a democratic ally in Eastern Europe. NATO was on life support under Donald Trump, and Joe Biden rallied the world. If you think Joe Biden is weak and beleaguered, how did he pull that off? So ultimately, figure out what you connect to, what you personally believe in. Figure out what your crazy uncle connects to, personally believes in, what his value set is. And there is something, I guarantee you, there is something that Joe Biden and Democrats have delivered that can allow you to connect to that uncle.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Yeah. And if people are looking to actually, you know, do something, not just complain about it between now and November, what would you suggest they do?
So first thing, Democrats.org or JoeBiden.com. But also, I approach this very differently than I think my predecessors. This is not.
Yeah, they don't want to give you $3. Like we want real things.
I do not like if you share our values, if you share our goals of defeating Republicans, find your fight, and it doesn't have to be within the Democratic Party. You know, sister districts, swing left, Planned Parenthood, local organizations. There are so many beautiful, unbelievably effective organizations that have emerged both before and especially after Donald Trump was first elected in 2016. So, you know, I'm not here to Bigfoot things and say like, oh, you're either with us or you're against us, you're either Democrat or you're not. This is an existential fight. And if we believe that, which I do, find your role in that fight. And whether it's with us or with an outside organization, we got a lot of work to do. But I would so much rather be us than them right now. And we're going to win this thing. It's going to be tough, but we're going to win this thing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming up. Appreciate you, mate.
Thanks for listening. Come on out for the real thing. You missed an opening monologue, comedians from The Daily Show, a sketch troupe that went 15 minutes without saying a word, which is really not great for podcasts. That's all at the best off-Broadway late-night show, because everything not on Broadway is off-Broadway. And you can get tickets at whereisthatguy.com. Thanks to Mark Stetson, my producer, and Unked partner in crime, Caveat for this fabulous, funny ambiance, and you for needing to know this and listening all the way through. So subscribe.